service has surprised me. It's not the service I thought I'd be taking when I agreed to take it several months ago. The words I'm going to share are quite different from the ones I started think I was going to share last night. It's been a surprise to me. Maybe it'll be a surprise to you. We're going to start with a gathering prayer. Could you please share the words in the bold type? We gather in the name of the one who calls us into being. We gather in the name of the one who comes not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life that we might live. We give in the name of the one who continually embraces us in sacrificial love. We gather in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're going to continue worship with the song we actually sung yesterday morning. From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe, hymn 272.
Entered our world, your glory veil, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our life daily offering of worship to the servant King. There in the garden of tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will, but yours, he said. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives in a daily offering of worship to the servant King. See his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that plunge stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to live our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives each other's needs to prefer. For it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to our servant King.
Let us pray. Let us prepare ourselves to worship our servant King on this special day, this Good Friday. Let's just reflect on what we were doing before we came to worship. It might have been from a sense of calm and tranquility. It might have been from a sense of rushing to get things done. It might be from feelings of life and vitality. It might be from feeling down. Let's just acknowledge our state of mind and release it. Let's come together as your people to worship you. To focus on the gift you gave to us. And the expectations you have placed upon us. We've traveled once again through Holy Week. And we arrive on this day. The day that love died. On a cross, far away. Be with us as we reflect on those events. Offer our hearts to you and seek a way forward in your love. Amen. We're now going to hear one of the gospel accounts of the crucifixion, John's account from chapter 19. Julie's going to read.
Our reading is from John chapter 19, 16 to 30. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. The crucifixion of Jesus. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic, called Golgotha. There they crucified him. With him two others, one of each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them. With the undergarment remaining, this garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened when the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her to his home. And the death of Jesus. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soak a sponge in it, but this sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant and filled it, lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Julie. Christianity is about sharing our human experience. We believe in an incarnate God who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. A God who, through Jesus, shares what it is to be human. If we worship that incarnate God, then we are called to share that experience of our humanity with others. This is the symbol that is the heart of communion, the primary characteristic of Christian worship. The meal that many of us shared at this time yesterday morning. We're called as Christians to share the totality of that human experience. We are called to share our joy. That's easy. We can laugh and smile, we can dance and sing. I'm looking forward very much in a few weeks' time to sharing with Chris and with Mandy the celebration of their long, happy, I assume, years of marriage. But we're also called to share our pain. And that's much more difficult, isn't it? So often we either shy away from pain or grief. We cross over the road to avoid a conversation. We fail to pick up a telephone. Or we disguise our grief in formal words, deal with it superficially. Yet sharing our pain and our suffering offers immense hope for transformation. If the Hamas soldiers had really understood what pain and suffering they were going to bring, would they have left their compound in Gaza? If the Israeli government really shared the pain and suffering of the Palestinian people, would this war still be going on? If we could really share the pain and suffering of future generations who inherit the world which we will be leaving, would we still be destroying it? If we could still share the pain and suffering of what it is to live in poverty in Britain in the 21st century, would we still be hoarding our wealth? The crucifixion is the ultimate example of how to share pain and suffering as a transformative act. Through demonstrating how incarnate love responds to pain and suffering, Jesus is offering an invitation to us to do the same, to share our common humanity, and through doing so, to change the world. Protestants, obsessed with the theological significance of Jesus' death and its role in atonement for our sins, tend to focus on Jesus dying alone. But that's not the case. All the Gospels record the more human story of a group of women sharing in that moment with Jesus. Women who loved Jesus deeply. His own mother, her sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene. Even in this darkest moment for Jesus, his experience was shared. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the women are just recorded as standing at a distance. But in John's Gospel, as we've just heard, the story is more intimate. The women are close enough to exchange words with Jesus. Even so close to death and in agonizing pain, Jesus is still able to express concern for his mother. Imagine her pain, witnessing what was happening to her son, but still hearing his concern for her. As the hymn says, we do not know, we cannot tell what pain he had to bear. But if we can't imagine the pain that Jesus himself suffered, let us at least imagine the pain of those women that suffered with him. None of the biblical accounts record Mary holding the body of her son as it was brought down from the cross. Given Jewish attitudes to death and dead bodies, and given Roman attitudes to executed criminals and the disposal of their bodies, it's extremely unlikely that she was ever actually given that opportunity. But this image, the Pietà of Mary cradling Jesus' body, has been one of the central images of Christian and particularly Catholic art through the years. The power of this image doesn't depend on whether it is an event that actually happens. It comes from the fact that we can identify with the pain and suffering it represents, that we can share in Christ's passion. In our prayers now, we're going to meditate on a variety of different representations of this scene. There'll be words to the response, Lord, in your mercy, please reply, hear our prayer. But there'll also be silence to reflect. Many of us are not used to silence, even in worship. So the pauses may seem long. But if that's the case, please remember that those women were at the foot of the cross for several hours. And that Mary had to reflect on what she had witnessed for the rest of her life. Let us pray. We share the pain of all who grieve, wherever they are in the world, regardless of race or gender, of sexuality or wealth. We share the universal nature of grief as depicted in this picture. Lord, in your mercy. We share the pain of all victims of modern warfare, killed by oppressive regimes, fundamental terrorists, or those who claim to be fighting for freedom. Lord, in your mercy. This image reminds us that we share the pain of all of those who die fighting and their families. So many young men, mostly, forced to fight by threat of violence, conscription, or simply through lack of opportunities to make a living doing anything else. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We share the pain of those who struggle with death through old age. For people who feel they have lived too long and seek release. For those anxious and distressed through the dementia that old age so often brings. For those struggling to care for spouses, parents or grandchildren, grandparents who no longer recognize them, and who they may struggle to recognize as the people they once knew. Lord, in your mercy. We share the pain of those killed and brutalized in police custody, who so often come from minority ethnic backgrounds and from other places of vulnerability. Lord, in your mercy. We share the pain of victims of illegal drugs across the world, whether they are killed by addiction or caught up in gang warfare between different cartels. Lord, in your mercy. We share the pain for victims of famine, particularly those linked to our changing climate. Lord, in your mercy. We share the pain of parents torn with grief when they imagine the dead planet that their children will grow up into. Lord, in your mercy. We share the pain of all who struggle to make sense of our modern broken world. For those who lose sight of you and cry out in bewilderment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We share the pain of all the losses that we have experienced. For love that has died, or for love that has never lived. Lord, in your mercy. We offer these, our prayers, united across time and across this planet, in our shared pain. A pain that you experienced as you took leave of those you loved, and that they experienced as they took leave of you. Give us strength in this darkest hour to imagine a better world. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn, Modern Words, to a familiar tune. After which I invite you to remain standing for some brief words of dismissal and then to leave this space in silence. Hymn 273, Here Hangs a Man Discarded.
A man discarded, a scarecrow hoisted high, a nonsense pointing nowhere. such a clown of sorrows to bring a useful work. When faith and love seem phantoms and every hope absurd, yet here is help and comfort for lives by comfort bound. When dreams of dazzling progress give strangely hollow sound, life emptied of all meaning, drained out in bleak distress, can share in broken silence our deepest emptiness. The pit of life's despair can name our hidden darkness and suffer with us there. Christ is